Gaynor said, you know, I'm here from the Evangelical Alliance and we bring you masses of love and masses of greetings. Do you actually know what we do? I know. Do you know, something I'm finding is that everyone knows that we're a good thing, but nobody has a Scooby-Doo what we do. True? Okay, let me just show you. There's a video clip for 2 minutes that hopefully will give you a bit more of a clue as to what we do.
Have you heard of the Evangelical Alliance? Ever wondered what we're for? We're all for unity. When we look around, we are heartbroken to see the nations we love riddled with division. Division in families, division in political parties, division in communities. But we are all for painting a different picture. One of a growing, vibrant, united church, colourful and diverse, and standing firmly on God's word. We are here to fulfil Jesus' prayer that we might become the family of God United. One people, one voice, one hope. We're all for advocacy. When the world questions the relevance of our faith, we demonstrate to the UK parliaments and assemblies how Christians are absolutely good news for society. We tell stories of how the church is housing the homeless, feeding the hungry, and bringing much-needed public leadership to towns and cities. We give voice to the church, speaking out on the issues that matter. When our faith is being pushed to the sidelines, we want to graciously and coherently fight for the religious liberty of all. We challenge the story. We say there's a better way. And we're all for mission. In a broken, hopeless world, we show how Jesus changes everything. We want to see many people invited into a relationship with him. Because salvation through Jesus is the best thing possible. We exist to unite the church in evangelism and equip people like you to share your faith with confidence and boldness. We encourage the whole church to play a part in fulfilling the awesome challenge that is the Great Commission. What is the Evangelical Alliance for? We're for you, the Jesus-following teachers, police officers, CEOs, farmers, doctors, church leaders, artists, factory workers, retailers and journalists who are busy being salt and light in the world. We are for you. So join us.
So hopefully that gives you a bit more of a clue. To break it down into three categories, we work to unite the kingdom. Basically, our strapline is together, making Jesus known. So that togetherness has to come from networking people and working with people, trying not to reinvent the wheel, essentially. How many of you know that where there's unity, there's blessing? Yeah, so that's what we're working towards. Then the second sort of strand of that is making Jesus known, is really preaching about Jesus. It's been influential for Jesus in society. Wherever your workplace is, whether that's in the home or at school or uni or wherever you are, that we're actually finding ways to make Jesus famous. And then the third strand is advocacy. So I find myself on various committees, basically just saying what the people of Jesus, the people of God, think about different issues and different situations. So whether that's at the Wales office or down at the Senedd, on different faith community forums, First Minister Forum, etc., etc. We get to speak at the highest levels of government. And that's not just in Wales. It's in Northern Ireland when they're, when they're actually up and running. But, you know, there we go. And in Scotland and obviously in Number 10 and in Westminster as well. And we literally are in the middle of all those things, trying to make a difference for Jesus. So this morning, it would be my privilege to invite you to sort of join with us. We are absolutely for and with you. We represent tens of thousands of Christians across the UK, thousands of churches, hundreds of organisations. And for the price of a latte, and who doesn't love one of them, a month, you can have your voice joined and added to the cause of making Jesus known. There's a really snazzy little cookbook in there. So if you're good at cooking, well, you might want to join in with us. Stories of faith and food from around the world could be yours today for signing up. If you're rubbish at cooking, that's why you need to join up, because that'll help you. Anyway, I'm here to talk about Jesus. Oh, I loved that you just brought his name to the forefront. this morning. There's nothing else that matters, is there? Hallelujah. I'm going to show you another video clip. I should have brought you popcorn this morning. Lasts about 2 minutes. It's something that you will have heard many, many times before. I just want you to listen to what the guy is saying. This is a clip from Martin Luther King.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will they be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. That one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today.
Thanks, Neil, and thank you guys at the back. They really had to work with the PowerPoint that I brought them this morning, so I really honour you. Thank you, because that's brilliant. Whatever your story is today, whatever state you find yourself in this morning, whether that's a good state or in a bit of a wobbly state, God has got a plan and a purpose for your life. God has created you with unique giftings, with unique talents, with the intention that you would use those giftings and talents to extend and to build his kingdom here on earth. God has created us to be the hands and feet of Jesus on the earth, and he trusts you with this moment in time, with this moment in history, to build his kingdom wherever he has placed you. That's a big statement, isn't it? That God would trust you wherever you're placed to extend and to build his kingdom. God doesn't see you as useless. He doesn't see you as weak. He doesn't see you without gifting. He's literally placed his hope in you, and he trusts you to use whatever he's placed inside of you to extend the kingdom of God here on earth. And if I've got one prayer for you this morning, it'd be that you literally leave today and just go and ask Jesus, you know, what is your bespoke plan for me on this planet? What's your purpose for my life? You see, you're not just an individual within a massive crowd. No, God knows you personally. And he has, and he will equip you for every task that he calls you to do. He plans to use us, me and you, to transform our communities, our schools, our workplaces, our nation, and the nations. Take a look at Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, the Bible says, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Some translations translate it as we are God's masterpieces. Imagine that, that's wild. We are created from the purposes of God into the purposes of God for the purposes of God. We're created in Christ Jesus. God never creates anything useless or rubbish. We are not mistakes. And God has placed dreams inside the hearts of each one of us. See, what Martin Luther King was doing there was he was dreaming as he was delivering his famous speech. He was reimagining what could life look like for the black people of America. That was his dream, and a noble dream at that. But I wonder, what is the dream that God has placed in your heart this morning? I've got two scrapbooks at home of things that I've been dreaming of, and things that I've been dreaming God would do with my life since about the age of 17. I don't want to drift through life and just live for the holidays or live for the weekends. Do you hear what I'm saying? I want my life to count for something. So at the beginning of every year, I intentionally go and sit in a coffee shop, no big hardship, take a journal, and I just dream. I sit down with God and say, would you speak? Would you tell me what's on your heart for this year? This is my dream. I dream of a biblically literate Wales. It's been my dream since I was 17, that people wouldn't just pick up their phone of a morning and see the verse of the day that YouVersion has sent to them and go, oh, here's the verse. Oh, read my verse, had a quiet time, all is good with the day. Can do that, can't we? Yeah? But actually, I dream of a nation that really knows and understands the word of God. A nation that lives on the promises of God, that follow kingdom ways, that understand Jesus because they've read about him and they've encountered him for themselves. I dream of a nation who are in a real and living relationship with God and who love God with everything they have. But those are just some of my dreams. Again, what's on your heart? What are you dreaming of? I wonder if you need to dream again. I wonder if you need to sit and reimagine what God might have for you, what God might have for your family, what God might have for this nation and this church. So if you've got your Bibles, I hope you have, or if you've got a phone with a Bible on, we're turning left from the book of Matthew, controversial, to a part of the Old Testament that we don't look at very often, and it's to the book of Numbers. Okay, there are indexes at the front of the Bible, if you can't remember where Numbers is, because it's not one of those that's probably on the bookmarks. I want to go to Numbers 13, and I want to take a look at how some of the people of God reimagined what might be possible. Just to give you some context to Numbers 13, God had promised that his people would get to live in freedom in the promised land, a land that was flowing with milk and honey. So would you just bear that in mind as we read through the scriptures? God had already said it. Okay, you are going to live in freedom in the promised land. So here we go, verses 1 to 3. The Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders. So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. Great. So Moses obeys the instruction of the Lord. Can I just say, if you hear the instruction of the Lord, it's a good call to obey. Amen? Moses does that. And he sends out a representative from each of the 12 tribes to go and spy out the land of Canaan. The land, which, as I said, had been promised to them as their inheritance. What were they asked to look at? Here's the next slide, verse 17. When Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and on into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees in it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob towards Lebo Hamath. So this was no small job. The men would have had to travel hundreds of miles to do this. In fact, the Bible says it took them about 40 days to undertake this journey, which is an incredibly long walk. But what did they find? Verse 26. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They brought them some grapes. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Who knew? Here is its fruit. So good times. There's food there. The land was fruitful. Happy days. The reporting back to Moses and Aaron is going really well, isn't it? Really well. Until, like, literally the very next word. Verse 28. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. So whereas this reporting back has been going really well and all is positive and, you know, good in the story, there's a but. And very quickly, the reporting turns sour and it turns negative. They start to complain that some of the people seemed to be quite powerful. The cities were fortified. And they were questioning, well, could we break through? But look at what happens next in verse 30. A man named Caleb steps up. Then Caleb silenced the people. Take note of that. Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." Phew. At last, somebody was ready to trust God for what he'd already promised. Do you remember I said that God had already promised that they would inherit the land? But first, Caleb has to silence the negativity of the people. He's saying, shush, no more, no more negativity. He silenced the people. And it's not until he silences the people that he's able to declare, we should go up and take possession of the land. For we can serve. Caleb wasn't going to allow the unbelief of the other spies to affect his belief in the fact that God had promised. Caleb was seeing through the eyes of faith. And not through the filter of God. He was seeing through the eyes of faith and not through the filter of fear. He saw through the eyes of faith. When you and I start to reimagine what God has for us and what he has for our nation, don't expect everybody to agree with you straight away. I mean, I would be very surprised and totally delighted if everybody got behind your dream. But don't allow yourself to get discouraged if people don't see through the same filter of faith as you do. So look at this slide. Don't let negativity and disappointment downgrade your hope. Because all the men who went to spy out the land saw the same thing, but not all of them saw the same thing. Does that make any sense? Let me say that again. All of the spies saw physically the same thing, but not all of them saw the same thing. Let's try and be people who see and perceive what God has promised for our lives. Some people will honestly laugh at our dreams. I've had that. Oh my goodness. Who do you think she is? Oh my goodness. Dreaming of biblically literate Wales? Yeah, right. Never. She's got some big dreams, hasn't she? Who does she think she is? Well, do you know what? Yeah, I have got some big dreams. Because if Wales is going to be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, I've got to start thinking bigger than I am now. Amen? We're going to have to ask for some pretty miraculous things to start happening, if that's really going to be the case. But let's not allow negativity to downgrade our hope and our faith in Jesus. There'll be situations that we can't change. But we can always change the atmosphere by speaking words of hope instead of despair. Amen? So Caleb silenced the people. He said, shush. I hear you, but shush. No more negativity. You've had your time. After he said that, now we can move in to the things of God. What was the reaction of the crowd? Have you noticed that people don't like people of faith, do they? They don't like you being optimistic. Verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are. It's like being on the playground, isn't it? Oh, but he's a big boy. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they'd explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. There's a problem here. Their words were completely opposed to not only Caleb's words, but the words of Moses and the words of God. They were ignoring God's promise that he would walk with them, and that he would win victory over the enemy. The men were clearly more frightened of the other men than they were of the Lord. Verse 33 tells us they saw themselves like grasshoppers standing in front of the giants. Again, they're choosing to see themselves through their own human eyes rather than through the filter of faith. But before we dismiss them as being stupid, isn't that exactly what we do? I can't do that. I'm not good enough. I haven't got the skills. I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough. Why would God use me? Do you know what? I almost didn't apply for the job at EA. Very, very, very nearly didn't. Because there were three things on the job description that I couldn't do. So I disqualified myself. I said, I'm not going to apply. It took somebody to travel all the way from Swansea up to Carnarvon to look me right in the eyes with prophetic eyes and say, apply. That was Julian Richards, if you don't know. The one with the most piercing prophetic eyes in the whole of Wales. Oh. Come on, be honest. Sometimes we see ourselves as grasshoppers, don't we? And the worst thing is we can see others as grasshoppers too. Who do they think they are? They ain't got it. No, they haven't, but they got Jesus. You see, lots of people believe in God, but not all people believe in his promises. That takes faith. And you are going to stand out as a person of faith if you're believing the promises of God, let me tell you. You will absolutely stand out. But that's your decision then. Am I willing to do that? Or am I going to hide away and be a grasshopper? Now, things start to go from bad to worse. So look at chapter 14, verses 1 to 4. That night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. Now, I just have this picture in my head. I used to teach drama of a whole community having a meltdown. Can you imagine? Just me. They raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, leadership. And the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Right, reality check here now. They weren't free at all in Egypt. Do you remember? They were not free at all. And yet they moaned and they whinged and they whined and cried and wished that they were back in captivity. That's a typical human mindset and behaviour, isn't it? I was up in North Wales on Wednesday and Thursday, and it was really sunny. So we probably caught summer this week up in North Wales. And I was driving, you know, by the mountains in Snowdonia, beaches on my left, mountains on my right. I'd stayed with my best friend Nicola and her family. I was like, I'd love to come back here, Jesus. And I just had to catch myself. Because I've been praying for this job praying for this kind of job since I was 17. And yet in my head, I was, I'd love to go back to the comfort of North Wales, where I know everyone and everything's really easy. But that's my Egypt. Do you get it? If we're going to step out into the promised land, things have got to change. It's typical human behaviour. I want to be back where it's comfortable. I want to be back where my pals are. I want to be back where there's food. Sometimes we don't step into the new thing because we're so comfortable in our old ways. Anybody? Freedom and the promised land was within sight, and yet they were too afraid to step into the promise. They'd forgotten how hard and oppressive Egypt had been. All they could remember was that there was food there. Verse 5, please. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of him, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone. But the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." But the whole assembly talked about stoning them. So it's Moses and Aaron's time to have a bit of a meltdown. They're like ripping off their clothes in their passion to get through to these people, to communicate, and trying to persuade the crowd that, you know, God's promise would stand and they were not to be fearful. But of course, what this does is it just stirs up the crowd even more. So the Lord himself had to intervene. Look at verse 10. Then the glory of the Lord, hallelujah, appeared at the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people treat me with contempt?" Wouldn't you hate to hear that being said of you? Oh, my, my, my. How long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me in spite of all the signs I've performed among them? I will strike them down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you into a nation greater and stronger than they. Moses tried to plead on behalf of the people and pleaded God's love and his faithfulness, and God forgave them. But look at this last few verses now, 21. "Nevertheless, as surely as I live, and as surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt and in the wilderness, but who disobeyed me and tested me 10 times, not one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their ancestors. No one who has treated me with contempt will ever see it. But..." Thank goodness there's a second but in the story. "But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went to, and his descendants will inherit it." Let me ask you today, do you carry a different spirit from the crowd? When faced with God's promises, do you see things through the filter of faith or through the filter of fear? Are you willing this morning to reimagine what could be possible under the banner of Jesus Christ? Because as I said, we are going to have to start to pray some really ridiculously big prayers if we're going to see this nation changed. If we're going to see Cardiff saved, we're going to have to ask for more than what we're asking for. Amen? Do you carry that different spirit? Oh, it's so hard in the capital, shush. I hear you, I love you, but we're going to go again. Oh, it's so hard in Wales, we've been praying for years and nothing's happening. Shush, I love you, I honour you, but we're going to go again. Well, do you know what? No one's ever got saved in my workplace. Well, okay, yeah, shush now. Let's pray. Let's pray through it together. We'll see it through the eyes of faith. We're going to go again. Oh, my kids are having a dreadful time at school. They're getting persecuted, bullied for being Christian. Right, well, let's believe that there's a better way. Let's reimagine what might be possible. Let's pray. Are you willing this morning to reimagine what God might do through you here at Rubina Baptist? What could be possible? What miraculous things can only happen by the power of Jesus Christ? Let's start praying into those things and see what God can do. Amen.